We just finished a great search retreat weekend. So many people fired up to love Jesus. We have a great grace of an Episcopal ordination this week. That means a bishop is on his way. It's exciting. It's taken a little while because he can only move diagonally. Most importantly, the man who once dropped the album Yeezus apparently, seemingly has found Jesus. And that's a great thing. He was saying at a mega church down in Houston that he is the greatest artist that God has ever created. Like, oh, Kanye. You have so much to learn. But if you found the Lord, eventually he will teach you two things: reality and humility. Okay, so then he'll never say that ever again. So I was thinking about all these graces, and I'm like, what would be the perfect gospel to take all the hype to the next level? I mean, what would take it to the next level around here? And I found the passage. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And before all this happens, they will seize and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. Perfect, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. No joke. Perfect. A perfect gospel for us to reflect on tonight. If you were here last week, I spoke about the purpose of this life. The purpose of this life on earth is to form us to become the men and women who can be with God forever in heaven. To form us to become the men and women who can be with God forever in heaven. Men and women, not little infants, like St. Paul says, right? He says, you should not be little infants tossed this way and that way by every wind that arises, but rather substantial men and women of faith, mature, strong, rooted, grounded. And for that to happen, my friends, there needs to be a significant formation and an intense training in that formation so that we actually become the type of men and women who can be with God forever in heaven. We can't be little children. We can't be little infants. We can be childlike. We cannot be childish. And so much of our faith, especially in a comfortable culture, is childish. Little infants tossed this way and that way by every wind that comes up. But that is not our calling. And the Lord will not rest until we become substantial men and women of faith. How does that happen? How does that formation take place? Brothers and sisters, it almost always involves difficulty and trial. And it almost always, nay, it always involves the cross. The cross. Cardinal Dolan out in New York said a line I'll never forget. He said, if the cross is present in your life, it is not a sign that something is wrong. It's a sign that something is right. If the cross is present in your life, it's not a sign that something's wrong. It's a sign that something is right. And yet, for most of us, when we encounter trials and difficulties, when we encounter the cross, we think, what is wrong? What is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Or sometimes, and maybe even more significantly, what is wrong with God? Why doesn't he care? Why doesn't he help me? Why doesn't he take this burden from me? Why doesn't he make it easy? He doesn't make it easy because he wants you to become mature, to become strong and substantial men and women of faith. That's why the Lord doesn't take away the cross, because he knows it's only through the cross, in and through the cross, that we can actually have a heart that begins to love like his, that looks like his. And so we're invited to that. I read a line a few weeks ago from a priest, and he was reflecting on the situation of the church in the world. We tend to think the church in America is the only church that there is. So we obsess about things that are relevant to American culture that have nothing to say to our brothers and sisters in other cultures and other places. He was talking about how the church in Asia and the church in the Middle East produces courageous people, brave Christians. You know, there's places where if you come to Mass on Sunday, you're taking your life into your own hands, because there very well could be a bombing. And that is something that is so foreign to us. And this priest, he wrote this line. He said, "I do not think one could claim the church in the West forms us to be brave. I do not think one could claim that the church in the West forms us to be brave." I think he's right. And I think we should not be okay with that, because we have to become brave to be mature. Otherwise, we will be like little infants, tossed this way and that way by every wind that comes up, as soon as any opposition arises because of our faith. We will fall away. But listen, did you hear the gospel? Jesus says it's coming, and it's normal. He says it in one line in John's gospel. He says, "In the world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If you want an easy path, if you want everything in your life to be perfect, good luck, because it won't be. And it isn't. And it's good to square up to that reality and just be real about that. The Lord gives us a way to embrace the realities of our lives. And that's precisely why he went to the cross. It's also precisely why he invites us, if we're going to be real disciples, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. He's straight up real about that. No questions, no lack of clarity, no crazy metaphor that he uses. He's just straight up and real. It's going to be difficult, but it's worth it. So how do we go through difficult times? What do we need in those moments? Well, we need to become brave. And I don't think you can be brave without persevering. And that's the great line from the gospel at the end. When all of this other stuff happens, all these tragedies and difficulties and obstacles, Jesus says, "By your perseverance, you will secure your life." By your perseverance, you will secure your life. Persevere. You know, I like breaking words down into their component parts, right? So the root of that word is severe. Most of you know what that means. It's difficult, hard, challenging, severe. Per is a Latin prefix that means through. So to persevere means to go through difficult times, to engage reality, to go through it. It's like Winston Churchill's great one-liner. He said, "If you're going through hell, keep going. If it's difficult, keep walking, keep going." And perseverance is a lacking virtue in our culture. Because as soon as people encounter the difficulty, and there are difficulties, there will be in everything significant in your life. The more I can say it, the more you remember that, the better it will be for you. When you encounter those difficulties, if you heed the dominant attitude of this culture, you will just simply stop. You'll either collapse or you'll look for a way out. Pull the ripcord. Find some simpler way. But friends, there will be nothing substantial in your life if that's the dominant attitude of your heart. Because everything that's worth it, every relationship, every vocation, everything you could do with the short time that you have on earth demands that you persevere. There's another way to say this passage in another translation. The one we heard tonight, by your perseverance you will secure your lives. But another translation says it this way. By your trusting acceptance of trials, you will gain your life. Very different, right? By your trusting acceptance of trials, you will gain your life. I like this second one. I don't mind the first one because we need to hear that we need to get tougher. We have to persevere. But also this, by our trusting acceptance of trials. See, that opens up the reality that the Lord knows what he's about. He trusts us. He knows what he's doing. He knows the crosses that you carry. He knows the difficulties of your life, whatever they may be. And friends, there are substantial crosses being carried in this chapel right now. I know it. I know some of the stories. Everybody has something they wish they could throw away and get rid of and not have to deal with. But the Lord knows that too. And if we trustingly accept that he knows what he's about, then when we embrace our trials, when we persevere in difficulty, then our hearts are being drawn into deeper relationship with him. We entrust ourselves to the Lord precisely through the difficult thing that we can't do by ourselves. And then we mature. Then we become real disciples. And we gain our lives. See, it's not just that we want to secure our lives, like lock them down and keep them safe. No, we gain. When we embrace the cross, we grow, we gain, we become larger than what we are if we just seek comfort. And that's a beautiful thing. And that is why the Lord, he knows the necessity of the cross that you carry. The cross becomes the tree of life. And if you could throw it away, you might in this life, but you would never do it in the next. Because from the vantage of heaven, you will see just how necessary that cross or those crosses were for you to become the type of person you are supposed to be, to become a man or a woman who can be with God forever in heaven. So we will encounter those trials. The question is, how do we walk when we embrace them? Two simple things, two very simple things. When you square up to your own cross, or when you find yourself in great difficulty and in great trial, two things, very simple and definitely not easy. The first is this, be thankful. Choose to be thankful. St. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, he says, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, give thanks. Choose to be grateful. Thank the Lord. Maybe even thank the Lord for the cross. And watch what happens in your heart when you make that decision to be grateful. The second one, also simple, also not easy, be generous. Be generous. Precisely when you want to circle in on your own pain and your own difficulty, precisely when you think no one understands what I'm going through, that is the time to move outside of yourself and give. Give to someone else. Give to anyone else. Make it about anybody but you. Give. 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 Be generous. And what will happen when you're generous is a power will be generated in you. And that power will be the power of God, because his heart is a generous heart. This great prayer attributed to St. Ignatius of Loyola is really beautiful to drive this point home. In your trials, be generous. And he writes this: Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost. To fight and not to heed the wounds. To toil and not to seek for rest. To labor and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing that I do your will. Friends, pray this prayer as we continue on with the semester and its particular challenges. Pray this prayer especially when you are in real difficulty and real trial. Watch what happens. The Lord will teach you to be generous. And then a power will be generated in you. And you will become more and more the type of man or woman you were created to be. A mature disciple of Jesus Christ. Someone whose heart looks like his. Brave and steadfast. Generous and compassionate. Someone whose heart is being formed so that you can be with him forever in heaven. That's the purpose. That's the goal. May the Lord accomplish that work in your heart and in mine. Amen.